your host for Lacrosse Talk PM, Rick Solem.
All right, welcome to a Wednesday of Lacrosse Talk PM. I am Rick Solem. If you want to get in here, now's the time to do it. Like the guy just said, do I need to repeat the number? 608-785-7914. I can do that. Coming up on the bottom half of the show, I talked with William Garcia, and I'm going to play some of that interview. We're kind of like doing dueling interviews a little bit between my show and Hayes' show, and trying to get a lot of candidates on that are running. It's crunch time now with less than a week to go before the election cycle ends. I like to say the election cycle because you can vote right now if you want, and it ends on Tuesday, right? So I like to say the spring election cycle. So the conversation that we had with Garcia, and it stems from the Democratic Voice podcast, which you can find at wisdomnews.com by going to podcasts and scrolling down to the Democratic Voice, or wherever you get your podcast, subscribe to Democratic Voice. You can do Lacrosse Talk PM too. You can get this show and just automatic download. Just do it like that. Then I can see my numbers jump. Anyway, so it stems from that, talking about how the two parties get involved in nonpartisan races. So Trigosky, the UW lacrosse political scientist, and I, we often talk on Fridays. He'll be gone this Friday. But we often talk about how political parties shouldn't get involved in nonpartisan races. But we're at a point now where, I mean, nothing is nonpartisan anymore, apparently. And so this all, it starts from there. And then La Crosse County Board Rep Dennis Jacobson, who's running for re-election in district, what district is he in? And he's in District 25. So he came out with Mike yesterday morning. He's running against Michael White in District 25 and essentially accused William of either being naive or lying to the audience in the podcast. So he said he came on the show. He didn't come on the show. It was just a clip of the podcast. But anyway, I'm going to play that for William. We played that, so you'll get to hear all that in the second half of the show. But if you want to comment on how our two parties have infiltrated our nonpartisan elections, our county board races, school board races, another part of that, and this is an interview I'll play on Friday, is the 1776 PAC. This is a very far right wing group that gets involved in elections. I tried to talk to Brad Paff about this the other day. Just these flyers that go out that do whatever the flyers say. They could attack a person. I don't know if they attack a person, but they could talk about how they promote a person, and the person has no idea they're on the flyer. And the 1776 PAC is a far right group that if you want to deep dive into it, it's awful group. It has two of our school board candidates, the only two that are on the ballot. It is a flyer out there that is, it's false, and it's touting numbers that aren't real. And it has those two school board candidates on the ballot, Adam Manka and Tim Alberts. And then in tiny little words, it says, you know, paid for by the 1776 project, and also something like, these candidates don't endorse or have not endorsed or something like that. It haven't been endorsed by the candidates. And it's not even, it goes beyond that to an extent, because not only are they not endorsed, they didn't want to, like, at least one of them anyway, doesn't want to be on the stupid thing. So then it's a matter of like, oh, these flyers have gone to people, and then how does that person, if they don't want to be on the flyer? So here it is. I got it in front of me. Paid for by the 1776 Project PAC, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's agent or committee. So just like candidates in general, but also the candidate that's on the flyer. So that I tried to talk to Brad Paff about this, but we brought it up very briefly, and then we got talking about other stuff, and I just didn't come back around to it. Brad Paff's a state senator, so I kind of wanted to get, like, can the state get involved in something like this? I feel like federally, or just like, I feel like there should be rules. If you're going to put out a flyer and put someone's name on it, that person should say, yes, I want to be part of that. And this gets into the whole freedom of speech issue. So anyway, talk about that. We can talk about that if you want. 608-785-7914. Bottom half of the show, a recorded. I just recorded this with William a little bit. So William Garcia listening to what Dennis Jacobson said and reacting to the idea that only one party or not one party is getting involved in the county board races. So, all right, we got to take a break. Brad doing the news. I think Brad's going to come back in here too and talk about the visit we had from the Biden administration today as well in La Crosse. Crosstalk PM, I am Rick Solom. In the studio with me now, Wisdom's Brad Williams.
Hi there.
all right, shut up, Taylor. We got to turn Taylor off. Oh, man, the Swifties are going to be mad at me now. Shut up, Taylor.
Do that.
Okay, so I don't know if you were listening before, Brad. I was ranting about...
What were you ranting
about?
The
parties getting involved in nonpartisan races.
Oh, right.
But are we, at this point, as a society... Is this a plague? Is this a virus that we cannot cure anymore? Everything is political. Even the roads in La Crosse County are political.
The roads in La Crosse County perhaps have always been political, but maybe more now than they used to be.
I guess I don't have enough experience. Because the roads start with R, they're Republican?
No. No, because the roads are one of the most common things that people are going to use that involve taxes and local governments.
But so, how can they be political?
Because, it depends. Each side has what they want to spend money on, so that's how it gets political.
It's just funny because one side will say, we want more roads, and then the one side will say, they don't want more roads to be fixed. It's just kind of... Anyway, speaking of roads.
Right. Yes.
The guy in town from the Biden administration, not...
Right. This is with the Biden campaign.
The Biden campaign. Okay,
yes.
My bad.
This is Mitch Landrieu.
Mitch Landrieu, he would be a good guy to ask about the roads being political, huh? If we had him.
He might be. He was actually in town today to visit the MTU and look at the big buses, the electric buses that are on the streets of La Crosse.
But he is like an infrastructure guy?
It was an infrastructure talk and, see how cities can... improve, use government money or find ways to make the environment cleaner and get people where they need to go so they don't all have to drive cars themselves and go on the roads,
I don't have the title of, his title in front of me, but isn't it something to do with infrastructure?
It's he's co-chair of the Biden campaign. I think he has been an infrastructure advisor for the president.
Okay, that's where I'm getting at. Okay. So what's funny about this is, so we have the Biden campaign heading to Isle of Plume, and the talk was about electric buses.
They spent a good deal of time there. They were in first the garage, the bus barn, and next to one of the electric buses that has been used for the last several months in La Crosse.
Okay.
We have a 32 bus fleet, and eventually, as some of the older buses that use the usual fuel, get retired out. They want to bring in more electric buses and help keep things clean that way.
Yeah, we'll phase out the old buses and bring in new, different ones that are more efficient.
And they were talking about how billions of dollars in Wisconsin are going to do that sort of thing. They're going to develop the internet, let's say, in some places. Or they could be used for mass transit and new buses. Or they could be used for PFAS pollution cleanup.
Okay, so we're back to like infrastructure needs.
Exactly.
What would we build to clean up PFAS? How would we get broadband to rural areas that don't have great access to it? It is funny though, right? Like we were talking about this before the show a little bit. Why are all the Biden people going to the bus barn of all things? Like, do we as a society love buses so much that we always have to campaign or make stops at the bus barn on Isle of Plume, where there's also kind of a garbage dump, right?
You've got a garbage dump. It's pretty close to the sewer treatment plant also.
The wastewater treatment plant. Also, there was a landfill there, and we've put a dog park on top of the landfill, right?
Isle of Plume
used to be, right?
Well, there's a lot of things that Isle of Plume has been.
I just feel like, you know, and then did the Mitch, what's his last name?
Landrieu,
did he stop at the Pearl Ice Cream too? Or
no, no. it wouldn't benefit him as much as it would the president to go to the ice cream shop.
And we don't know this, but where else he went in the city. But he could have went to the wastewater treatment plant, which is, you know, millions, tens of millions of dollars updating. It's going to go online, I think, at the end of the summer. I'm going to bring someone with the city to come talk about wastewater treatment on the show eventually after the campaign or the election cycle ends here next week. At some point after that, I'm going to try to bring somebody on. But
I think he was looking at treatment plants in other cities in Wisconsin. He had a two-day visit around the state, and he came last night and was here this morning, and then went somewhere else.
Oh, so he might have hit downtown.
I think he might have hit downtown last night, and then go to Wausau to look at their wastewater treatment.
See, as somebody that works on the campaign, he should talk about where he went last night. I stopped at, you know, that, Big Al's or wherever. Yeah,
we don't ask those questions,
right?
Like, and people will say, "Why are you asking them that? Talk about the roads."
But but it is funny that we keep having these campaign stops. Either when it was Trump's going to Green Bay, I'd imagine he's just going to stop at the airport, right, and just hang out at the hangar.
Wherever he's going to have his rally.
And I would assume it's at the airport, right?
It could be
kind of cold out though. We're not going to do that, right?
Yeah, cold. Oof. Yeah. Today was a cold day. After we went to the event at the MTU, there were a lot of people at Forest Hills Golf Course today because they're going to be building a new pavilion there, and it's going to be generally an outdoor pavilion, and it was they had a nice ceremony, but it was cold and it was windy, and it's like, wait a minute, Easter is next week? This feels like January.
Okay, Trump is not going to be in the hangar of the airport. It's like, it's stupid to me to even think that because it's too cold out. He's going to be at a convention center.
But you never know. I mean, because Jesse Jackson did an airport hangar event when he was campaigning for president in 1988. He did.
Well, that was just the last time as we in the anyway. So, but we keep having Biden administration officials stop at Isle of Plume at the bus barn, which I think is kind of funny. Like,
can we promote? That's the go-to place in La Crosse. If you're with the administration, if the president did it, the head of the EPA was there 2 years ago also, Michael Regan.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, we've had three Biden officials or officials
representing Biden.
Yeah, under the Biden administration, stop at the GD bus barn. Go somewhere else, Jesus. Meanwhile, Governor Evers was in town and he stopped at the fire station, right? Like he signed
testing.
Now, Governor Evers doesn't always go to the fire station. He's all over the place.
He is all over the place. And the fire station was a good place to go because paramedics who answer calls for opioid overdoses, you know, and so they're part of the fire department structure. And so.
Well, that's a thing that I had State Rep. Jill Billings on. So Governor Evers yesterday signed this bill to allow testing strips for essentially the drug called Tranq, which is a tranquilizer that veterinarians use to put large animals to sleep so they can, you know, work on them, essentially. Right. But this stuff is getting
There's no good antidote.
Well, and this stuff is
getting... So that's why they want to see if this is in, if somebody has drugs and they could use these strips to see if this particular substance is in what they have.
Yeah, we had to do it with fentanyl strips, and now we're doing it with these Tranq strips or xylazine strips. Jill Billings got, you know, to talking with Chris Eberlein from Gunderson. She's come on the show and talk about this, and maybe I should have Eberlein to talk about this stuff too. But Eberlein's, you know, talking about his experience with these drugs, and people that are on drugs need to be able to know what's in their drugs because drug dealers, you know, they're not really going through the FDA to
right. And a lot of substances tend to get used, we are told, in the drugs that are out on the streets, and xylazine being one of them.
It was one of them weird things too that we had to legalize testing strips, right? Like it was kind of a weird, like, were they illegal that we couldn't use?
Well, is that apparently they were.
Yeah.
Is that the governor had to have the permission or give the permission to use them because somebody in the government wanted to discourage anything to do with xylazine, is my thinking.
All right. So Governor Evers was at the fire station. Right. He was here just a couple of weeks ago, wasn't he?
Well, he hasn't been here as much lately as, let's say, a year ago. We would talk here at the station. Well, it's like, every once a week, the governor is coming here for something. But we haven't seen him too much lately.
Wasn't he here twice in the last just couple of...
A couple of weeks. Yeah.
Where was he before? He was just here.
I'm trying to think because it happens so often. It's like, okay, what was this one and what was this one?
So Brad Williams.
And people are saying, Brad doesn't remember where the governor was last week.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's what I was just going to do, Brad. You caught me. Anyway, so I just think it's just kind of, well, Governor Evers came a lot. A year ago, because he was running for governor.
Right. Well, yeah, and he's halfway through his term now. So,
but I would say, yeah, is he halfway?
Almost
halfway.
It's the second year of his term.
We're into the second year, but he's been here a lot, regardless of whether or not he's running for office. Like
he likes the area. he used to be the superintendent in Toma, so.
Yeah, so he's got to get back to connection. His roots, but he doesn't go to Toma all the time. So
No, not that we know of. Maybe he does it privately.
Texter Kevin texts in, hey, Rick, the parties, both parties, all caps, have been involved with county board races for years. Don't act surprised or believe any side who says they're not involved. I'm not saying that they're not involved, and you could say that they've been involved for years, but I would say that they're getting more and more and more involved, I believe. Where's campaign money? By both parties.
It's becoming more obviously partisan, and people do get concerned about which party is. And that's what we're hearing, is that, there's too much Democratic Party influence on the board and we need to change that or whatever.
And vice versa. And then it's one of those when the candidates themselves or the parties themselves endorse candidates or the people running go, that person's a Republican or that person's a Democrat. You're pitting because you have to dumb down the races because it's not about substance or what they want to do with their seat at the county board or what they would like to see the La Crosse County government and through the La Crosse County board do accomplish. What are the needs of the county? It's not that we can get that from each candidate and listen to your candidate and hear what they want to do and accomplish. It's, the other guy's a Republican.
Yeah.
Or the other guy's a Democrat. And therefore, I don't have to hear anything else. I just want to then.
Well, that's one of those things that I'm seeing. This week I think it's tomorrow night, there is an online event involving the last three Democratic presidents. Biden is getting help from Obama and Clinton to help raise money.
Clinton, by the way, Bill not Clinton. Hillary Clinton.
Yes,
it's always funny.
Bill Clinton was Bill Clinton president, and then Obama was president. Yeah, but this keeps popping up on my social media, and then there are comments of people's like, three stooges, throw them all in jail. So, that's what happens. Things have gotten a lot more partisan and a lot more, we use the expression?
Well, and I just bring it back to what I started the show with this flyer from the 1776 PAC, which is a very right-wing, far right-wing group that literally just, like, the things that it stands for are not anything that most people wouldn't want to be a part of. And it doesn't have to get permission to put people's names on, like, the whole freedom of speech. But I feel like you should have to get permission from candidates. I feel like that could be a law, whether it's federally but it's a good scapegoat, too, for candidates that want to be on that flyer, but then can it denounce it as well.
You could say so. Is it one of these groups that isn't necessarily, it's not the official campaign, it's not the official party, it's an interested group that wants to have an influence on the election.
And I always go to my worst example is, what if I was like pedophiles for PATH? That's what I said the other day. If I just put out a flyer that said, we support Brad PATH, and put that out to all the constituents and be like, this pedophiles pack is for Brad PATH. Well, that's, because people just, I don't think that a lot of people discern that this thing is just made up and they're just putting people's names on flyers so that they can send them out. It just doesn't, somebody has to tell them too that the races are so minuscule in the grand scheme of things. Like, how would they get a name of a school board member on to put right. on their flyers, this national group.
Yeah, well, yeah, we do have the lower to the ground, you might say. I wouldn't say minuscule. Yeah, I mean, it's small compared to Congress and
well, yeah, I'm just saying
state.
On a national but, level, we're here in the cross at a school board race.
We're concerned about next week, the school board. And yes.
School board, judicial race, county board. All right, thanks, Brad.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to go, Brad. You have 1.5 minutes to get back to do the news. All right, coming up next, William Garcia. Speaking of partisan politics and nonpartisan races, this is the back and forth we're going to have. I recorded this with William Garcia just a bit ago, talking about what Jacobson said yesterday morning on Hayes' show, and this kind of back and forth between amongst the accusations that are going on. All right, welcome back to Lacrosse Talk PM. I'm Rick Solom. In the studio with me here for this segment is William Garcia, the La Crosse County Democratic Party Chair.
Hi, everyone.
The 3rd District Party Chair. And all right, we're a couple days away from the election. Yep. I want to talk about something that Dennis Jacobson said on Mike Hayes' show. But before we get to that, how you feeling here? Like, this is the nonpartisan election. You shouldn't be stressed at all.
No, I'm not stressed at all. I think the voters of La Crosse are going to take the right people to the Board of Supervisors. I'm not stressed about it. I do want everyone to vote. So please, if you haven't voted early, please go out and vote. Super important. These local elections matter. So please do your research. Go to Vote411 Wisconsin. Find out who is the candidate who's going to best support your views. And then please go out there and vote.
On Tuesday, Donald Trump's coming to Wisconsin. He's going to make a campaign stop in Green Bay. I don't know if he's just going to do one of those airport deals. I did see a funny tweet that told like the city of Green Bay to send him the bill and get the money
right,
up front.
The money up front, yep.
Which is kind of funny. But I heard Donald Trump has all kinds of money because he sold Truth Social onto the stock market or whatever.
So he can't sell his shares for 6 months.
Oh, okay.
So he doesn't have – that's not like money he has – and that also means that it's got that stock price has to stay where it is for 6 months.
Sure.
So, I mean, really, there's no extra money right now. So.
All right. And he has like about a week to pay now the bill for his situation in New York over.
Right. That for some inexplicable reason, because Donald Trump always gets treated, with kid gloves. They reduced the amount of money that he needs to put down, which is absolutely ludicrous. They would not do this for other people. They don't do this for other people. But because Trump is Trump, they're going to reduce the amount from, what, 450 to, I think it was like 180?
174.
174, yeah. So, and again, no one gets the kind of special treatments that Trump gets. It's kind of insane.
What I think is interesting is the same right before they did that is Donald Trump was blasting about how he has $500 million right. and he can pay it. So like usually when a bond is reduced, and I'm just thinking about like the court system here.
Yeah.
It's because that person has shown the inability to pay or the crimes that they committed versus the situation that they're in life.
Right.
The bond gets reduced or it becomes a signature bond. That was weird when Trump says, oh, I have $500 million, and then right. the bond is reduced. So yeah. It just seems like, wait, what?
Yeah.
All right, County Board, this is, like, I got to set this up a little bit. We sure. have a podcast that we do together. It's your podcast, The Democratic yep. Voice. It comes out on Mondays. You can go to wisdomnews.com/podcast, and you can listen to the full interview, the full podcast. Mike Hayes does a show in the morning. So Mike Hayes, we play part of your podcast yep. on Monday mornings at 8:50, I believe 8:50. And the snippet that was heard by Dennis Jacobson, he is running for county board. I think he's the incumbent in District 25 for yep. La Crosse County Board.
Correct.
It hit him the wrong way because in the podcast you said that the Democratic Party, because we were talking about the two parties, the Republican Party yep. of La Crosse, Democratic Party of La Crosse, do they fund candidates in nonpartisan races, which is yes, right?
Yeah.
And you kind of in the podcast explain the difference because the La Crosse County Republican Party, or can you explain the difference between your take on the difference between the two parties and getting involved in nonpartisan?
Sure.
Races?
The Republican Party as an organization spends time, money, and resources well before the primary, well of the local elections, well before the even the signature phase of these local elections. So they are spending money in December. They're spending they're recruiting in December and January for these seats. The Democrats, as Democrats, we do not get involved until the primary is over. We have clear choices between people running. And, you know, sometimes the choice is not clear enough, so we don't get involved in a particular race for a particular district. We get involved in races where there is a strong ideological difference between candidates, and we go forward from there. Now, your audience has heard the clip, right?
No, I'm going to play the clip.
So let's play the clip.
All right, we're going to play this clip. This was Mike Hayes and Dennis Jacobson yesterday on Lacrosse Talk. Just, yeah, the interview. Here it is.
Well, my concern yesterday, you had Mr. Garcia on from the Democratic Party, and I believe he was making comments that the Democratic Party was not getting signatures for other candidates. And apparently he doesn't understand what his party is up to, because on December 31st, former chair Tara Johnson, our current chair Monica Cruz, our second vice chair Randy Erickson, Tina Trigestad, and Rich Cornforth, they spent a New Year's Eve day traveling District 17 to get signatures for Steve Marcos so that Jack Pogreba would have an opponent. So these five Democrats were out in a different district collecting signatures. This is legal, but you should at least admit what you're doing. Then on January 1st, New Year's Day, Chair Monica Cruz, second vice chair Randy Erickson, and Rich Cornforth traveled all the way out to the 25th district, where they had finally convinced Michael White to run, but they had to go and get signatures for him. So they also did this in at least one other district and possibly more, because a lot of the candidates don't bother to check and see who got the signatures.
Sure.
And I think if you're going to run for the county board, you should be running for the board because you care about the entire county.
Sure.
You care about
you
the district. You want to serve.
Right.
Not because you were forced into it or your arm twisted by a political organization.
Right.
And it's totally legal, but you should at least tell the truth about it.
Okay, so you heard the clip. That was Dennis Jacobson and Mike Hayes. Well, mostly Dennis Jacobson. I kind of cut up the part that Mike brings up is it's totally legal what they did. But this is him essentially accusing you of either not knowing what Democrats are doing
right.
in your party, or B, lying to
right.
The audience.
And it's funny because he accidentally proved my point in that clip, because here's the difference. And here's what he doesn't seem to understand. There is a difference between the Democratic Party and people who are Democrats. That is a massive difference. So when he says, well, maybe you don't understand what's happening with the Democratic Party, well, that's actually kind of true, because no, I was unaware that, you know, Tara Johnson was collecting signatures on that day that he talks about, because it wasn't an official Democratic Party function. That was a person who was a Democrat going out and getting signatures because they think it's important for their community. It had nothing to do. The Democratic Party did not fund it. We did not authorize it. We did not participate in it. So there is a massive difference. And that's the distinction that I'm trying to make, and that I think Mr. Jacobson understands and is trying to obfuscate for your viewers, that there's a difference between the kind of the party machine, the party organization getting involved, and people who, you know, are nominally part of that party being involved. And of course, Steve Doyle, he mentioned Steve Doyle, very much part of our party. But that still doesn't mean that the Democratic Party, even if Steve Doyle is out there knocking on doors and getting signatures, that does not mean that the Democratic Party was involved, because the organization of the Democratic Party, the money that we have, the resources that we have, were not used to collect these signatures at all. They were Democrats who were spending their own time and their own money going out and getting things. The difference being that the Republican Party as an organization is spending money early and often on these candidates, and they're giving candidates time and resources, as I said, at the signature phase, when the Democrats never get involved, and in the primary phase, when Democrats never get involved. So that's the distinction I'm saying. It is absolutely true, I'm sure, that Democrats and Republicans, completely independently of the Republican Party, go out and get signatures and do things. That is what being a political, an engaged person in our community looks like. The difference is what the Democratic and Republican organizations are doing. And as an organization, the Democratic Party is not spending, here in La Crosse, we are not spending our money, our resources, and our time on helping collect signatures for local nonpartisan races or getting involved in primaries of local partisan races. We get involved only after the primary when it's a clear distinction between two people and that clear distinction like means something to our ideological views.
There's a third part to that. Also, that person accepts your essentially and that person, your endorsement.
Yes, someone has to get an endorsement from us. You have to actually say, yes, I would like to be endorsed by you. And then we go from there. So we never endorse or assist anyone that doesn't specifically ask for our help.
Have you had a nonpartisan person where you're going to offer to help fund their campaign and they say
all
no,
the time?
Okay,
all the time. And again, because we kind of respect how the candidates want to run their campaigns. But again, the difference is when in. As Mr. Jacobson, with his little quote there, proved, he was correct. I did not know that they were doing that because that was not an official La Crosse Democratic Party function. They didn't use La Crosse Democratic Party funds. They didn't use La Crosse Democratic Party organization. We didn't send emails out to our members about
social
it.
Media,
none of that happened. Yeah. That is what is happening with the Republican Party all the time. And as I said, they gave out to 10 different people $500-$400 checks back in December when they were first starting to collect signatures to help them collect signatures. That is something the Republican organization did, not a Republican person, not a person who happens to be Republican. That's something that the Republican Party did. And that is a distinction. And again, I think this gentleman knows that and is just trying to confuse people. But just to be clear.
Well, according to campaign finance, he did get $400 from the Republican Party, I believe.
I don't think he did. I don't think he is one of the people that got $400 from the Republican Party. I could be wrong. You've always got to go back and check those amounts over and over again. But
did his opponent get money? Michael White?
No.
You don't? Okay.
Nope.
So there's that distinction. So, so individuals will act.
So individuals, be they Republican or be they Democrat, are going to act on their own, and they're going to do what they want to do, and that's great. Distinction is whether the organization, whether that organization is using money, time, resources. The Democratic Party of La Crosse is not. The Republican Party of La Crosse is using official organization in order to enter the race early and get these things done.
December 4th, Dennis Jacobson.
Oh, there he is. Oh, so there
so
you go.
It's from friends of Dennis Jacobson got $400.
Right. So there you go.
That's the Republican Party giving friends of Dennis Jacobson money.
$400 back in December, back on December 4th. Yeah. So okay. Before, like as he was beginning to collect signatures.
The other half of this argument that we talked about on the podcast was Kevin Hoyer is another La Crosse County board member. And I talked to Christy Tweed yesterday, but he's also running. Obviously, he's an incumbent. He sent out a letter. So the other part of this was he was talking about how county leadership Democrats.
Right. Yep. County leadership.
So there's two different distinctions there, right? Like county leadership doing this. That's kind of what happened here is county leadership, Monica Cruz. And-
well, okay, so there are a couple of things about that letter. One of the big things is that Kevin Hoyer writes that letter to make it seem like progressives on the county board, like literally bullied Christy Tweed into running for office, like they forced her to run for office. This is completely untrue. Christy Tweed is dedicated to her community. She wants to serve. She wants to help. And so she stepped up and
she ran last time.
She ran 2 years ago. Exactly. Yeah. She stepped up and was like, no, this is something that's important to me. I want to run. So Kevin Hoyer's characterization of all of these people, all of these progressives on the county board twisting her arm is completely laughable. It's ridiculous.
Okay.
The other issue that goes with that is that, yes, if the majority of the board is progressive, and it's nonpartisan. That's why I'm not saying Democrat, Republican. I'm just going to say progressive and conservative. All right. So if the majority of that board is progressive, then they have a vested reason to go out and find other progressive candidates. Conservative members of the board, like Kevin Hoyer, he's on the board now, so he's part of our county leadership. Kevin Hoyer has a vested interest in finding conservative candidates to run with him. That's why he and the Republican Party have recruited so much and spent so much money recruiting and spending money on people, because they have a vested interest. It is ludicrous to say, oh, well, they really strong-armed her into running, and they're really doing everything they can to flip the board to their side. That's untrue, because it's both sides. It's how politics runs. It is indefensible to say they're doing this and we're not, because that's exactly what the Republican Party's doing.
I think a good example of this is when I've kind of moan about my district in Minnesota not having representation on the Democratic side. We do have a House rep running as a Democrat, and we don't have at this point a state House member. So a U.S. Right. House Democrat is running, but a last election, the assembly, it's in Minnesota, it's called the state House. There was no candidate against Greg Davids. And I was like, really? We don't even, as Democrats, don't even have a candidate? And then you say, maybe you should run. You've said that a couple of different times on a couple of different podcasts. And I just kind of laugh. I'm like, I don't have any capacity to do that. But isn't that the La Crosse County Democratic Party trying to, this is where it is. This is an individual, you, a Democrat, are telling me I should run for a thing. That's kind of what's happening here. That's what we're talking about.
And no offense, Rick, but I am not going to spend a dime of Democratic Party resources on your potential candidacy, because that's not what we do.
Yeah.
But and again, these people understand that. They're just desperately trying to hide their own attack ads, because the conservatives in this town for this election, this local election, have done nothing but send out these horrible attack ads, these lying screeds about the terrible things that progressives on the boards do.
They haven't done nothing but that, but they have sent some attack ads, what you call attack ads. Some of the ads you didn't have a problem with. Some of the flyers.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Some of the flyers that are just like, hi, this is who I am, and this is what I want to do on the board. Those are great.
Yeah.
But
I'll just say,
it's only the Republicans, conservative side, sending out these attacks.
No, you sent.
I do not consider. Okay. I will go to the mat. I do not consider reminding people that Bill Feehan is a fake elector and attempted to overthrow the 2020 election an attack ad.
But the Democratic Party has sent flyers out in that district.
Correct. Yes, because I think it's important for people to remember that Bill Feehan, attempted to overturn a Democratic election. And when we vote for people, that's an important thing to know.
All right, that's all the time I have for William. Okay, thanks a lot, William. Appreciate it.
Have a great day, everybody.
All right, we'll be back. All right, that's going to wrap it up for a Wednesday of La Crosse Talk PM. Thanks again to Brad for hanging out for a segment of the show, and for William Garcia dropping in and doing this back and forth amongst parties. Can we say parties? Amongst people on how this election is going. And it couldn't come Tuesdays, the end of the day Tuesday, couldn't come soon enough if you ask me. coming up tomorrow, today was supposed to be the Mac and Mac show, but coincidentally, both of them had to go to urgent care. I think someone in their family ended up having to go, and I don't think it's very urgent care. I think someone just ends up being sick. That's all I know. But tomorrow, Matt Keel is going to come on, and we're going to talk about the committee week coming up next week. I have some other stuff. Matt Keel often, she's a city council member. She often works and goes out with the crew that kind of checks up on homeless people, so we can get an update on there. The mayor put out a statement on the city website. You can find it on the wisdomnews.com website, just on the situation with cleaning up along the riverfront and how many tons of garbage, essentially, or belongings, if you want to say, were picked up. And then we could talk about that as well a little bit too. So anyway, that's coming up tomorrow. Thank you, everybody, for listening.